repetition. This simple idea, we experience it in the church all the time, and its power for us to remember, for us to go deeper. There's never something that we see only once that we can capture everything all at once. Think of the Gospels and the readings in the church. We have a 3-year Sunday cycle and a 2-year weekday cycle. We are repeating and repeating, and each time there's something new. But even in other spiritual reading, it's worth going back for us to re-experience and re-see things that perhaps we didn't see before. This is why, at the suggestion of my wife, we're going back to Maria Sima. And specifically, this one particular chapter that when I went through it, I was amazed at the things that I picked up, now having gone through so many other sources. Just like the life of Jesus, that we usually need different sources to get the whole picture, the four Gospels in this case, so it is with purgatory. Any one mystic can't show us everything about purgatory. It's such a vast world. But when we piece them all together, the picture starts to become more clear. If you would like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Now let's dive into this one chapter of Maria Sima. Chapter 3. The question is, now please, what exactly is purgatory? Purgatory is a place and a condition that every soul experiences when it still needs to do atonement and reparation for sins that it committed during its life before it too can join Jesus in heaven. Very little is taught about it today, and when little is taught about purgatory, it leads far too many people in becoming curious on their own and without any spiritual guidance, then they can stumble so easily into occult practices. Usually it's said that purgatory is only a condition. This is only partially true, for it is most definitely also a place. It is also a time for waiting where the souls yearn for God. This yearning for Him is their greatest suffering. All poor souls experience this no matter at what level they find themselves. There are 3 main levels in purgatory, and I experience the souls that need relatively little for their deliverance into heaven. I believe this for 2 reasons. The first is something that I experienced when I was called to a house by the owner who had just lost his wife recently and where strange things were happening at night. So I agreed to go there to spend a night to see if I could help him. It didn't take long for a loud banging and thumping to start up out in the hall. I then asked, as I normally do, "What can I do for you?" But the noises only became louder and louder when suddenly a huge animal appeared that I had never seen before, and right behind it came a large serpent that quickly devoured the first animal. Then the whole scene disappeared. I must have been somewhat afraid because I was sweating by the time it was all over. Later on, I described to this man who knows plenty about such occurrences, and it was he who identified the first animal for me. It had been a hippopotamus, which is symbolic for hard-heartedness. This does not mean that the woman was in purgatory as a hippopotamus. This was only a way for me to understand this case more clearly. Having then spoken at length with the widower, it soon became clear that his wife had kept an animosity going with another woman for some 30 years, even though the latter had wanted peace between them. This refusal to forgive then earned her the deepest level of purgatory, from where I was not yet able to deliver her. The second reason I believe that I usually experience the souls in the highest levels of purgatory is a diary written by a German princess in the 20s. For several years, she experienced the souls in the deeper levels, and many of those descriptions are certainly monstrous and very much more painful than what I have seen. Another question. What might some other differences be between the higher and the lower levels of purgatory? In the lowest level, Satan can still attack the souls, whereas he can no longer do that in the higher levels. It is true that we are tested while here on earth, and that testing stops with our death. However, the souls in the deepest third of purgatory must first suffer away the sins that they committed before our prayers. Masses and good deeds can be beneficial to them, and a part of that suffering in the deeper levels is that they continue being attacked by Satan. The many levels of purgatory are different in the same way that all our earthly illnesses are different. One can be a mere irritation of the fingernail, while another can consume the entire body like a fire. This fire exists only in the lower levels of purgatory, but not in the highest. The next question. Can our prayers block Satan from attacking those in the lowest levels of purgatory? Yes, they can. And especially when we directly ask Saint Michael, the Archangel, and the lesser angels to do that. And within these three main levels, there are more levels? She answers, yes, a very large number, because every soul is so very different when it arrives there. There are great sufferings and there are lesser sufferings and everything in between. There are probably as many levels as there are souls, because no two people or two souls, of course, are ever identical. There's a lot to unpack there. First of all, something that I had reflecting on that I did not realize I had already read in her book. When I would think about the souls that would appear to Maria Sima, I would reflect on how they seemed very pleasant, not frightening, kind of very mild, as we might think most souls in purgatory are. Where she explains there, and she says it quite clearly, that these are probably souls in the last level of purgatory, what we would call the threshold, or the antechamber of heaven. So when you read all these different accounts, it seems like there's some conflict. Is purgatory terrible? Is it light? Is it mild? What is it? It's all of it. And what we're seeing is some are seeing the upper levels, others are seeing the lower levels, especially Princess Eugenie von der Leyen. You need to check out those series of videos because I go into more details about the things that she sees. They really are quite horrifying. And when she sees the souls in purgatory, they are what we would say, they seem like demons. They seem like these strange creatures. Think about this. Think about people from the past that have experienced these types of things, where perhaps for whatever the reason, God is allowing this soul in purgatory to try to ask for some help. And these people see all these weird shapes and shapes like animals or all types of things. Now we can understand why people maybe have made mistakes in misunderstanding some of these things and allowing them to become part of false religions. There are a few questions answered there that people tend to ask. When I've said before that Satan can attack the souls in purgatory, at least some people will say, well, that's not true. That's not possible. We have already conquered Satan. She says it there. Other mystics say it as well. Almost every mystic that has a lot of things to say about purgatory agrees. So you'd be in the minority if you say that. Notice how she makes a distinction. These souls are not being tested by Satan. They're merely used and as an instrument of atonement. So that's a good clarification. And our prayers can help the souls in purgatory in their lower levels, especially by invoking Saint Michael. Lastly, something important that we can gain from this is we should desire not to go to those lower levels. We should avoid those serious sins, especially those serious sins that many of us ignore, like this one, unforgiveness, holding anger and grudges towards others, being judgmental of other people, speaking badly and thinking badly of other people. These are sort of acceptable sins within Catholic circles, whereas there's others that are, no, I'd never do that. We need to be very careful that we do not fall into these sins and end up down there, because as she implies and other mystics say, these souls do not readily receive as much the prayers that we offer for them as those in the upper levels. Thank you for rejoining me on this video, re-exploring Maria Sima. If you have not checked out some of my previous videos, here's a link to them. I will see you in the next one.